trying to read portions of Nehemiah 8 or Nehemiah 8 right now, starting with chapter 8, verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which Yahweh had commanded to the chosen people. See also Luke 2:22 through 24 and 39 concerning the law of Moses. And also we'll go down here to verse 8 in a minute. Talks about the law. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. That's the Feast of Trumpets. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. That was quite a long congregational service. Verse 4, And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which had been made for the purpose, and beside him stood several others. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. So here's how we're supposed to do it. Show us how it's done, Ezra and Nehemiah. And Ezra blessed Yahweh, the great mighty one, and all the people answered, Hallel Yahweh, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads, and they praised Yahweh with their faces to the ground. Well, they could have praised him with their faces to the sky, I suppose. But this is how they were doing it there, with their lifting up hands. They were not charismatic. Well, in a sense, you know, but not in the sense that we have today. And then there's several more names here. And they caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Wow, you mean they're not just lounging back there in the pews, well, padded pews, the burgundy chairs? So they read in the book of the law of Yahweh distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. Somebody would say, oh, what are they trying to be, somebody's Holy Spirit or something? But this is the job of a preacher, is to help them to understand the reading. Also in 9:14 we see a similar passage about, and they made known unto them the separated Sabbath and the commandments, with the precepts, statutes, and judgments by the hand of Moses, thy servant. Okay, we're going to get back now to Nehemiah chapter 8. And when they caused the people to understand the law, the people stood in their place. And they read in the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense, caused them to understand. Verse 9, 8, 9. And Nehemiah, which is Tirshatha, I can't see in here too well. And Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is separated unto Yahweh, your mighty one. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. That's kind of like today, only they're saying, take it away, we don't want to hear it, you know. It's disgusting. But that isn't why they were mourning, they were happy. You know, they were so happy to hear the word again. And, you know, there is a famine for hearing the word these days. Verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is separate unto Yahweh, neither be sorry. Some say the Feast of Tabernacles is something to be sorry about. They said, don't be sorry. For the joy of Yahweh is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Shalom, for the day is separated, neither be you grieved. People were saying, oh, this is such bondage, sitting here listening to the law and talking about, you know, thou shalt love thy neighbor there in The book of Leviticus, chapter 19, talks about love your neighbor as yourself. It wasn't a new commandment. It's just our misunderstanding if when we read that in the Gospels. So the Levites stilled all the people. This day is separate, neither be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat. Now here's more bondage happening here. They're eating and drinking. Colossians 2, remember. And eating and drinking, let no man judge you but those who know the truth. And to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And in verse 14, and they found, they discovered, they found written in the law which Yahweh had commanded by Moshe, that the children of the Hebrews should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. That's found in Leviticus 23:34. Among other places, and in the future we'll keep this feast as well in Zechariah 14, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and Jerusalem, saying, "Go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. I've been to many feast sites for the Feast of Tabernacles, and you know, they might make a booth, but they won't stay in it at all. They won't even go in there. I put a bunch of fruit in there in 2009 at the Feast of Tabernacles there, and the people would go in and take the fruit anyway. But I mean, that's not to say that their hearts were evil. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not even thinking that. I'm thinking that the intent of some of the leaders there is something wrong with that, that they're not, you know, doing things correctly according to the word here in Leviticus 23 and here in Nehemiah 8:15. They got all these different branches here. I always grab a bunch of branches before I leave my house for the feast days, for the feast site, and put them in the trunk or somewhere, pile it on top of everything, and then that's what I did. I took them out, and then started making these booths. So I went in there during the feast into the booth and prayed and studied the word. Well, some of the people were listening to some meaningless Christian rock or something. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house. Now wait a minute, you can't stay at home and keep the feast there. So the word house there should be translated booth. I don't think they're staying at home, although there is a possibility that some would have to do that due to health. But then again, if we obeyed Yahweh and had faith in him, well, then we wouldn't be home. We've got to go anyway. Now, I don't mean if you're 1 foot in the grave that you're gonna take off for 300 miles to another state, or go to Tennessee or Alaska or Hawaii or something, or Southern California. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his tabernacle and his structure, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of Yahweh, and in the street of the water gate, and the street of the gate of Ephraim, or Ephraim. Actually, we say Ephraim. The accent is on the E. All the congregation of them that were come out of the captivity, they came out of captivity. They made booths and sat upon the booths, or excuse me, under the booth. For since the days of Yeshua, or Yesha, actually, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of the Hebrews done so. And there was very great gladness because of all this Jewish bondage that they were in. No, it's not bondage. But there was very great gladness. Right, yeah, we've had a great time. Those people were just great. They were so awesome to fellowship with. I thought they'd talk about cars or boats, you know, sitting down to dine there. But every day, even the roughest looking, least spiritual looking person would be talking about the word. And not just, you know, not just the emphasis on the Feast of Tabernacles alone, but all of the word. They were doing that. So that was really encouraged. That's good. I hope they keep doing that. Because I didn't expect to see that happening in these days. So finishing up the chapter there in verse 18, also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of Yahweh. Oh, shame on him. And you know I'm not being serious there. He should be rewarded for that, and he will be. So they read in the book of the law, and they kept the feast 7 days, more bondage there. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. I'm going to have to stop talking like a Protestant here. And, you know, we're just going to have to stop worrying that this is bondage. It's really loving Yahweh, keeping his commandments and his statutes and judgments, testimonies. We could go to Luke 2:23 briefly and then come back. I just kind of like to. Can I just, let's go to chapter 9 for a few verses here. Verse 1, Nehemiah 9, verse 1. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children, the Hebrews, were assembled with fasting, sackcloths and earth upon them. So this is a special man-made fasting day. It's the fast of the seventh month. And this occurred after the Feast of Tabernacles, 2 days after that eighth day, that last great day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And the seed of the Hebrews separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. We don't see this happening. They used to do that in a Church of God of Prophecy in the Dalles, Oregon. That was exciting to see people go up to the altar and confess their sins publicly. I haven't seen that in 35 years. The seed of the Hebrews separated from all strangers. Now, if those strangers were part of them, if they were grafted in to the good olive tree, then, you know, into our mighty Yahweh, then, of course, they would not separate from those kind of strangers. It's just talking about, you know, unsaved people or something. And they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers, and they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law. 1/4 of the day, and another fourth part they confessed and praised Yahweh, their mighty one. How about that? 1/4 of the day, you know, 3 hours. They stood up and read. They stood up for 3 hours. Then another 3 hours they confessed and praised Yahweh. Confessing not only their sins, but confessing that they that Yahweh is their creator and that he's mighty and he's wonderful. About halfway through verse 5, stand up and bless Yahweh forever and ever. Yahweh the Eternal, blessed be thy magnificent name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Yahweh alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, and all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven praiseth thee. Thou art the mighty one, the eternal, who didst choose Abram. And we'll skip down to, I want to skip down to 13, and we'll go to that Luke 2 for a moment about the law. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spake with them from heaven, and gavest them from heaven, gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. Praise Yahweh. And they made us known unto them, and you made us known the pure Sabbath, the commandments, the statutes, the precepts, statutes and laws by the hand of Moses, thy servant. By the hand of Yahweh, those statutes were written. See Exodus 20. All right. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Then I'm going to go to Luke 2:23 and talking about the time, Feast of Tabernacles, when the Messiah was born. And read the rest here. What did I say? 2:23. Backing up. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present the Messiah to Yahweh. And as it is written In the law of Yahweh, every male that openeth the womb shall be called pure unto Yahweh. Verse 39, and when they had performed all things according to the law of Yahweh, they returned unto Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Notice 34, Simeon blessed them and said unto Miriam his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in the chosen land, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. That sign found in Matthew 12:38. 3 days, 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth. That's right. And if we could go to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, and scroll down there for a couple of verses. Rejoice, rejoice, verse 12. And be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So blessed are you which men shall revile you, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. And they're actually fulfilling prophecy when they do that. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you. You're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Magnify Yahweh. Oh, I picked the long chapter here. Yeah, I'm going to read this later when I can read most of it. I'm just skimming through Matthew 5. And let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and magnify Yahweh, which is in heaven. What's that? Good works. Well, he didn't really mean that. I mean, why is he teaching these things? And then a few years later, 1.5 years later or so, then he's saying, well, that's all been done away with. Everything I preached has been done away with. Well, he didn't do that. He didn't destroy the law. Well, yes, he did. Well, let me just read the next verse then. That'll settle the whole discussion. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Oh, Yahweh, you're saying that you didn't come to destroy the law, but you came to fulfill it or do away with it, right? It's a little double talk there. No. Look up the word fulfill in every place where that word is used. You could get a Strong's Concordance. Look up fulfill. And, there's a lot of things that would, even your salvation is fulfilled, so it's been done away with? No. What's some of the other cross-references that I could give you here, but to fulfill? The next verse would be one, and also chapter 24:35. Okay. So, going on to the next verse, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, let me look around. No, it's still here. It hasn't passed away. One jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. Oh, give me a break. Till all be fulfilled. Well, I like to play the Protestant there. The protesting person who protests Yahweh's law to show how absurd it is to do that, you know, to speak against Yahweh's law. I'm on the side of Yahweh here. I believe in his word, and I hopefully allow the Spirit to work through me to keep all those laws. It's not that hard. There's not any law of his that I'm breaking at this very second, or 20 minutes ago, or an hour ago. So it was possible to do it for an hour. Maybe I could keep his law for a day by his power. Maybe I could keep it for 2 days, maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe a year, 10 years. Yeah. But if I break it, if I break part of his law, I've broken the whole law, and then I need his forgiveness. But I don't go out looking, you know, for trouble. I'm not saying, well, I'm going to break the law. Okay, well, my intent here was to read more scriptures than to extrapolate and to preach and so on. Verse 19, 5:19 of Matthew. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. We've already covered that. You don't want to be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Take it from me. But whosoever shall do and teach the commandments, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And we can call that kingdom of heaven right here. We can call it, and we can say, you are great for upholding the law. Judge Roy Moore, in his courtroom, upheld the Ten Commandments. Unfortunately, they probably don't really understand the Ten Commandments. They're out speaking against the Ten Commandments in their churches, and on the other hand, they're in the political scene speaking against the speaking for the Ten Commandments. They just don't understand that we're saved by favor, not by keeping the law. But if we go and break it, then what's going to happen? And he says, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we've got a long ways to go because, I don't know about the scribes and Pharisees, but I do know about I knew a little bit about the Jewish, Orthodox Jewish people. Those people really, they lay their whole resources, their life, their very life on the line. And, they're in danger of persecution by everyone in the entire world. Whoever has a man who has a beard or wears a kippah, the hat. And if you object to that hat, you can wear a baseball cap or something. No, don't. That'd be disrespectful to Yahweh. And then they wear the tallit, the four corners, just as Scripture commands us to do. And, the man wearing the beard. And, we're not to fear somebody who wears a beard, are we? No. And let's see. Can we leave off there then? Okay. Well, we've got to have a final word here. Verse 48, Yahweh's got to have the final word. Be ye therefore perfect. In other words, become mature, become perfect, even as our Father, or your Father, which is in heaven, who is perfect. Let's read also Revelation 3:2 about that perfection. Let's see where that would lead us. We're going to get a crown of righteousness. He's going to reward us. He's not going to allow us into his heaven for keeping the Ten Commandments or the law, but he is going to give us a crown of righteousness. He's got many, many crowns. Revelation chapter 3, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before Yahweh. He's telling the assembly there in Sardis, talks about the seven spirits of Yahweh too, which is another program, but it's something to study, and about the new covenant and Yahweh's law. Yahweh came to magnify the law and make it honorable. Isaiah 42, Yeshayahu 42. And the portion of scripture is called the Torah, the first five books of Moses, details that law. One could say, I love Yahweh and I love my neighbor, that's all I need to know. Well, you don't know specifically though, by reading, if you don't read the Torah, the Spirit isn't just going to instantly tell you everything right and wrong that would offend Yahweh. You need to read it. And then as you read the Word, or as it's preached to you, then the Spirit will wrought His righteousness in you and cause you to walk in His statutes and judgments. Ezekiel 36:26. Yahweh said, don't misunderstand why I have come. It isn't to cancel the law of Moses and the warnings of the prophets. He came here to establish the law, make it honorable, to magnify it. And so it is clear that the Torah referred to in Matthew 5:17 must mean all law of Yahweh, including the law of Moses, with the exception of the offerings, the washings and ceremonies. And that's, Hebrews 9. Tells us we don't do those things, but it was Yahweh's law that Yahushua, the Messiah, came to expand, to fill full. There is no limitation placed on the word law in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 4:4, we're to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh. So I hope you've enjoyed this, mainly the reading of Nehemiah 8 and 9 today. And Shalom. Please drop us an email, and if we ever refer you to any websites, remember that no one is perfect, and so you know, we're certainly not going to lift or steal something out of somebody else's website without giving them credit when we can do that. So we want to share with you the truth. And there's a lot of websites out there. SermonAudio.com, by the way, as Russ Sukhia. And also, that's S-U-K-H-I-A, Russ Sukhia. And also Mark Shansky from the North Country. And he has many files on there. Some you want to turn away from. I pray that the Spirit will give you some discernment about that. But I'm sure you'll be blessed. Someone would say, well, I only look at Messianic websites. Well, okay, but they're not going to teach you that we need to keep the law, necessarily. I haven't heard that in years. Most of this teaching is the run-of-the-mill, you know, armchair, just sit back in your chair and be blessed that we're Israelites or something, spiritual Israelites. But, oh, well, you know, like someone said, it's all good. Well, it's not all good, but it's... And it's not close enough, but we need to keep studying, keep praying, and by the Spirit we will overcome our carnal nature, and Yahweh will not blot out our names out of the book of life, but He will confess our name before our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, and before His messengers. So he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the congregations. Join us again on Yahweh, not Yahweh. Maranatha.